The market that Burroughs was destined to enter also made for a telling contrast to a much more famous novel on the subject that he must have known, Nelson Algren's The Man with the Golden Arm. Nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, the book had made Algren an instant celebrity in 1950, and his depiction of Frankie Machine, the low-life poker-dealing junkie of the title, had an equal impact. As David Courtwright notes in his History of Opiate Addiction in America, Algren's hero marked a crucial generational shift in the cultural stereotype of the addict, now defined for the post-war public in the image of the hustling street criminal. The irony, however, is that Algren's literary ambition and experience of narcotics were aloof from street level. In fact, it was his agent who encouraged him to use junk as a peg for his plot, at a time when Algren, corresponding with Simone de Beauvoir and financed by literary fellowships, barely knew any actual junkies. In March 1950, while Burroughs was beginning work on Junkie, Algren was receiving invitations to Hollywood, the movie of his novel, directed by Otto Preminger and starring Frank Sinatra, came out in 1956, and was being presented with the National Book Award for Fiction by Eleanor Roosevelt at the Waldorf Astoria. While the prospect of the latter fate would not have tempted Burroughs, it's necessary to see how materially the publishing context defined by Ace Books ensured that in 1953, Burroughs' novel, not printed under his own name or even using his title, bypassed any chance of a literary reputation or critical reception. In 1952, Burroughs was well aware that the subject of junkie was hot, in several senses of the word. From a publishing point of view, it was the type of story that would sell paperbacks, a new and booming industry. But the paranoid and reactionary national mood, this was the era of McCarthyism, meant that the subject was also dangerous to handle. Amid wider fears about popular culture and its capacity to incite imitation, the paperback industry was itself subject to congressional investigation in 1952 and found guilty. A pulp novel about drug addiction therefore combined two moral panics for the price of one. Junkie was a product of these times, as Ace Books both sought to exploit the interest, packaging the novel inside an especially lurid and voyeuristic cover, and to defend their backs by inserting a series of nervous disclaimers. This attempt to censor Burroughs' novel had unforeseen ironic effects, however. Perversely, the notes inserted into the text imply one of two things: either that whenever there isn't a disclaimer or a rebuttal, this statement is hearsay, or this is contradicted by recognized medical authority, the text can only be telling the truth, or that this censorious voice is inadvertently pinpointing the really important facts. Ace also added a publisher's note, see Appendix 5, which proposed the novel's function as a deterrent. It would, they claimed, discourage imitation by thrill-hungry teenagers. The irony of these measures wouldn't have been lost on Burroughs, and his original introduction to junk, see Appendix 2, spelt out his own position in blunt terms. Official propaganda opposes any factual statement about junk, so that almost nothing accurate has been written on the subject. Cutting through the myths mattered because, as he knew from firsthand experience as an addict, America in 1950 was at the peak of a post-war epidemic. Whatever else it is, Junkie remains a precise eyewitness report to essential changes on the ground.